What's
All
up? He's always just like,
right.
I can't even sniffle in my own house.
He's sniffling. She's sitting there going.
No, I didn't.
Wasn't that much.
I just went.
Yeah.
Like sniffled like normal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm not allowed to breathe in my own house.
No, I'm just saying you're on camera. You're gonna be sniffling and shit.
I wasn't on camera.
You're sniffling, and then the cat goes like, oh, because the cat thinks you're hissing at her. You didn't notice that?
She does like that every time you do something. What? Every time you sneeze, or every time you like, every time I kind of scratch my leg.
I'm smoking the last herbal cigarette.
Yeah, he's taking all my herbal cigarettes.
He orders some more though. You realize that this thing's menthol, right? I think they're banning anything menthol, aren't they?
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah, Esther made it. Hi, everyone. Taking care of a sick parent, so maybe off and on. Oh, gosh.
Okay,
well, I hope that works out for you.
Yeah.
Zach is saying, I just watched a very interesting doc about this guy. I'm going to have to check this one out, too. Yeah, I feel like this one, because I feel like we watched a documentary about Son of Sam, David Berkowitz, not too long ago. I guess because we did a show about him not too long ago.
Yeah.
And so this one, so I thought when somebody recommended this one, I thought they were talking about that one. But no, this is brand new. This just came out like last week on Netflix. And this is so much, it is about David Berkowitz, but in particular, it's about the theory that he didn't act alone, that he was part of a satanic cult.
Yeah.
Okay. Which I think we got into a little bit on the show when we did the show about him. And I appreciated that it's four episodes. The episodes are about an hour long or 48 minutes or something like that. So I kind of appreciated that they went into that aspect of it, even though I think, and I think I said this on the show, so the documentary was a little bit more convincing than some of the shit that I read.
Yeah. It sounds like there's something to this theory. There's a lot of things that had happened around where Berkowitz lived. There was some stuff that in the letters that he sent, and there were some people that believed that he didn't act alone. And there was some evidently like some occult stuff happening in some woods around where he lived. And then an investigator comes in, tries to put all this together and say that the cops fucking fucked up, that he was just one of many people that were involved in this. And they, as the series goes on, they try to make you kind of believe that, I guess. No, they really try. They just try to demonstrate the theory, I guess.
Well, yeah, it's sort of. I the documentary doesn't really take a stand on it one way or the other, because what it is so the journalist that came up with this theory originally, and this was like back in the late 70s or early 80s, like not too long after the crimes had taken place in 1977. His name was Maury Terry. And what ended up happening was that he worked on it for a really long time. He wrote a book called The Ultimate Evil. He was on all the talk shows on Geraldo and all that shit back in the day. And what happened with that was that when he died in 2015, he was friends with Joshua Zeman, he's a documentary filmmaker. He also made Cropsey, probably his best known one, which is actually a really good documentary. If you want to check it out, might be on Tubi, actually. That might be where I saw it. And it might be on Shudder too. I can't remember. But he made that one, and him and Maury Terry were friends. So when Maury Terry died, he left all of his investigative notes about the quote unquote Sons of Sam theory to Joshua Zeman. So Joshua Zeman made a documentary about it. So it's almost kind of like I like the way they set it up, because the first episode pretty much gives you a rundown of the Son of Sam crimes, you know, which took place over a year, and all the shootings and everything like that. And it also kind of goes into the cultural context, how shitty and crime-ridden New York City was at the time, and how during this summer when this was going on, which was like fucking flipping out, there was like, you know, there's blackouts, there was all this other kind of shit. They actually made a really good movie many years back, called Summer of Sam, with John Leguizamo, where it's not really about David Berkowitz, but it's kind of about that whole chaotic kind of summer. Like it was just like all this shit happening at once. So the first episode is that it's kind of like goes over the crimes, goes over, you know, talks to the victims' families and all that. And then it just kind of gives you a little tease that some of the police sketches of the perpetrator by survivors and by, you know, people that saw the shit happen, Some of them didn't really look anything like David Berkowitz, right?
So one of them kind of did.
So yeah, so they kind of tease that. And then as it goes on, they get more into Maury Terry as a person. Like they talk to his, you know, people that knew him, they talk to his ex-wife and, you know, and friends of his. And so it's almost as much about him as it is about David Berkowitz. You know what I'm saying? Like about his obsession with the case and about his years long, you know, crusade really to get the police to listen to his satanic cult theory. Right.
Yeah. He was, if you ask me, he was obsessed for one reason or another.
He was. Yeah.
I don't know if it was just a show business money type obsession, or maybe it was just something about him in particular. He kind of went on a damn crusade. Now, this was during the time of what Jenny and I called, me and Jenny lived through it. It was called the Satanic Panic.
Yeah.
Okay. It was some crazy shit. You think today's moral panics were bad? It was fucking bad back then. They actually thought there was a nationwide cult of Satanists. They were breeding children and sacrificing them, and that they had infiltrated the police and the FBI, and that they actually infiltrated rock music and shit. It was ridiculous.
Dungeons and Dragons, the Smurfs, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. You had televangelists involved and stuff.
Well, that was a big cash cow for them.
Yeah. And what's weird is that politicians got involved in it. This is the time where the Republican Party really got kind of the stigmatized as being crazy-ass Bible thumpers was during the fucking Satanic Panic. And they were. They were fucking crazy-ass Bible thumpers. Not all of them, but a lot of them were. And for some reason, other Republicans listened to them. And then they try to do things like ban rock music and just crazy overreactions and shit.
It's interesting because I'm very excited because what won in the topic poll for Friday night's show is we're doing a revisit of the Satanic Panic from that time period. So I'm super, super excited because what we did the Satanic Panic on our second show, episode two, that was like almost 5 years ago. And that show was super fun. And I think we covered a lot of ground. I can't remember. I haven't listened to it in a long time, but it was, you know, only an hour long or something. So it's like, I want to redo it and, you know, expand on some stuff we talked about there. So, you know, and not have a time limit. And I thought it was really cool that we ended up watching this documentary, which has a very Satanic Panic element to it because it happened during that time period. And I think that that's kind of one of the traps maybe that Maury Terry fell into. Because the thing about it is that, okay, I will give him that. I would have got suspicious too if a bunch of the witness, because they do show like all of the police sketches of, you know, what they called them, the 44 caliber killer. And, you know, none of them really looked like one another, honestly. So I probably would have thought that was kind of fishy too. So, you know, there's something to investigate there. There was probably also something to investigate behind, you know, and I'm not saying David Berkowitz is innocent, obviously, because they caught him. He had the fucking gun in the car. It's like, you know what I mean? So there was a lot of other evidence implicating him, clearly. And so, but some of the weird shit that he said in the letters about, you know, quote unquote, John Wheaties and all this other kind of stuff. That's the thing. You don't really know if he was referring to, you know, his neighbors, Sam Carr, you know, son of Sam, and the dog was telling him what to do, blah, blah, blah. That was Sam's dog. And Sam had two sons, John Wheat Carr, who they called Wheaties, and another one named Michael. And the theory is that these two were helping David Berkowitz because, you know, John and Michael Carr did actually look like some of the other sketches. So it could have been, I mean, it could have been that they were lookouts or that they were happy or something like that. I just think, you know, I'm not saying that that's true. I'm just saying that's possible. But when you get into this thing where, because it seemed like Maury Terry kept going farther and farther and farther with it until it was, you know, suddenly it was a nationwide satanic cult. They're all in with the process, you know, which was a real thing. I know. You know, and now there's like, you know, there's a murder out in California that was Arliss Perry, which they thought was related. And then there were like these couple other ones that were related. So
there's a lot of problems with his theory,
though. Yeah.
All right. I think the big give, the one of the main things against the theory is that the crimes that were committed by Berkowitz could have actually more easily be done by one person than many people.
Yeah.
Because to require a team, when, first of all, serial killers have been killing people solo forever. That's normally how they do it.
Yeah.
And it's because they're by themselves, there are no witnesses, and they choose when to strike.
And sometimes couples, but that's sometimes much, couples. Much rarer.
Yeah. The whole idea of having an organization behind you and being able to keep that secret for a long time period of time, history shows that no. The more people involved in it, the less your chances of you ever keeping that shit secret. It's better if it's just one person acting alone and leaving no surviving witnesses. That's the best way. And the crimes that he committed, they're obviously could have been easily done by one person. They were things that didn't require multiple people, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he was basically just walking up to cars and shooting people in cars and then running away.
Well, it was more complicated than that.
Yeah, but
it was walking around waiting for a couple who was in a position where there were no witnesses, where you could get a shot or two and then run away unobserved.
Yeah.
Okay. You can walk around and shoot people in cars all day long, but you'll get caught.
Sure.
You have to. He was waiting for the fucking perfect situation. He sees them, looks around, goes, "This is a good place." Pow! And they shoot and then runs.
Yeah.
And then as soon as he gets around a corner, probably just walks, because running fucking attracts attention. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, this was just one dude. And it was just a byproduct of the satanic panic thing. People reading into it too much. Oh, well, shit, this is a complicated crime. This is going to require four or five people. Now, Berkowitz himself comes out and says, yes, I was in a satanic cult, and yes, I wasn't alone, but he wouldn't give up any names. He's lying.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, he's a serial killer, yeah, so I don't know how much, how much stock you want to place him like that.
Fucking, they are notorious liars, all right? And the purpose for the lie is several, many-fold, actually. One, you can take some of the blame and guilt off of you and put it on imaginary people.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't just me. A bunch of people did it. So that, all right. And then you can now claim, I'm part of an organization. It's like a satanic gang.
Yeah, we're powerful.
I have power. I have power. I'm part of this. And, you know, in jail, in prison, fucking he can walk around like he's some kind of gang member. Now, the chances of those other prisoners believing that is about zero. Those other guys in prison go, yeah, right, sure. Yeah, that pussy. Yeah, right, whatever.
We've heard
they didn't. Yeah, because they lie. You know, they know that. Yeah, they're telling prison stories. And the good thing about the documentary is that cops threw their two cents into it. And they say jailhouse information is notoriously bad. Because they lie.
Yeah, because they have their own agendas.
Yeah, and also, you know, they get pulled out of the fucking normal population to have a nice day in the visitor center and talk to people and tell stories. And, you know, they feel important because people from the outside won't talk to them. Going to give them some cigarettes, maybe buy them a fucking soda or some donuts. It's just some shit like that, you know what I mean? And then they didn't have to go on work detail that day. It's going to be real basic shit like that. And then they can go back into the cell block area and go, oh, yeah, they're talking to me. They're going to make a whole movie about me.
Yeah, I'm
important.
He's
telling everybody else how famous he is, you know. So, no, you can't believe them.
That's what I mean. And so that's the thing. It's kind of like, as I said, yes, it's weird that the shit that he said in his letters about Wheaties and everything like that, yes, that those did seem to be real people.
He knew,
they were his neighbors. He might have hung out with them. He might have, you know what I mean? And he might have just put that in there to be weird. I don't know.
He was doing something like the Zodiac would do.
Yeah.
He's giving them hints about how to catch him.
Yeah.
But you would have to know him exactly to understand those.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, because he's referring to people that live
next door
or like down the street or whatever.
He's mixing their names up like the ant, like Zodiac sending a damn.
Yeah, he's trying to code. Mysterious
code.
Sure.
That's what he's talking about. And Berkowitz was not an impressive guy. You know, he was a doughboy, you know, loser in his youth. Prison actually toughened him up a little bit. He started to kind of get in a little bit better shape. He looked like that guy, Roy Shriver. Not Roy Shriver. Looked like the guy from fucking, from what's that actor from First Close Encounters of the Third Kind? The guy who was making a mountain in his living room. He looked like that guy. What was that guy's name? Got a little round
Richard
guy.
Dreyfuss?
Richard Dreyfuss. Yeah, he started to look a little bit like Richard Dreyfuss, but...
Slightly.
You know what I'm talking about? When he was in good shape, he got in good shape for a little bit, but he looked like Richard Dreyfuss to me. But he was a loser, you know. He's going to lie. Pathological liar. He was a man of basically no achievements, you know, of no talent, really. Just had fantasies about the devil, you know, that he was kind of a Ramirez kind of guy, kind of like a Richard Ramirez type dude. Not as scummy, though. Ramirez was really bad.
Yeah, I mean, he was just like a total, total loser. God's bag. Yeah.
Ramirez really was a bum, you know. He was on his way to bumhood. You know, had he not been caught, he'd just have been a bum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's the thing. So, you know... He could have just been, like you said, being mysterious and writing this stuff about his neighbors who may or may not have been friends of his, you know, just to kind of give police hints and make it a little game or whatever. Yeah. And he could be doing that. And it's like they didn't really have anything to do with it. It is weird that Wheaties ended up dead over in Minot, North Dakota, in what they don't know was a suicide or could have been a murder. They're not really sure about that. Michael, the other son of Sam, also ended up dead in a one car. I think it was just a one car accident that they said it looked like somebody had run him off the road. Although I don't know how, you know, accurate that is. It could have just be a coincidence. And I don't know. I feel like, yes, that's weird. Yes, that should have been investigated. And according to like all the cops they interviewed, some of the cops like did actually think that maybe, you know, yeah, maybe he didn't act alone. But one, the fact that the shooting stopped after he got arrested, and I don't know. I feel like people are too, and particularly during this time period, and we'll go into it more on Friday's show, because like I said, we're doing another show about Satanic Panic, and I'm very, very jazzed about it, because that's one of my favorite topics. But I feel like people are just too ready to put too much meaning into stuff. So I think that he took a few tendrils, which could have been really interesting. You know, why did the police sketches, why did none of them look like him? You know, what is all this stuff that he's putting in his letters mean? You know, yes, they match up with real people. That is absolutely something that should have been looked into. But I think that past that, he was just looking for connections and finding connections that maybe weren't there, or there was just like a stretch. You know what I mean?
Fucking Berkowitz wasn't the kind of guy that would have been attractive to a gang or a cult or anything, I don't think. He was not a real social guy. He was the loner type. He didn't have, you know, he didn't have a lot of social skills, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He was acting alone.
I kind of feel like that too.
You can just look at him and see interviews with him, and he's not the kind of guy that would have a bunch of friends. You know what I mean?
I mean, like I said, yeah, it's weird that the police sketches, none of them look like him, except maybe one sort of. But you have to think, too, that eyewitness accounts are notoriously unreliable.
Yeah.
People might have been describing. So like I said, they were under stress. They weren't people might have been describing someone else that they saw in the area that wasn't actually the shooter.
Lighting conditions were bad, too. I mean, I don't see how they could really identify him. It was dark. And a lot of them were shot.
Yeah.
Trying to describe what it was like, or witnesses in the area around where the shooting was. It's just eyewitness testimony is fucking weak when it comes to IDing somebody.
Yeah, it's good to have as like backup for other other evidence that you have. But if that's all the evidence that you have, then that's really not.
It mostly helps when the witness knows the person.
Yeah.
They go, yeah, it was Tom. It was Tom that did it. You know, that kind of shit. Because you already know.
What did you do, Tom?
Because you don't have to ID him. You already know the person.
Yeah.
That's usually that's pretty good witness ID.
Yeah, because honestly, if I was walking down the street.
Strangers, you never remember how they look.
Yeah, if I was walking down the street and fucking, well, shit, man, people I pass on the path every day.
Yeah,
And if they were doing something and somebody like asked me to identify it, I'd be like, he had arms? I don't know. I don't ever look at him that close.
This was just part of the satanic panic. That's just the way.
Yeah. Like I said,
same mentality.
I can understand how Maury Terry got so obsessed with it and how it's kind of one of those things that it had like all these interesting little anomalies that may have added up to something.
Yeah.
But it just seemed like he got so wrapped up in the narrative that he was creating about this satanic cult that pretty much anything that came up, he was putting it into that narrative when maybe it didn't have anything to do with anything. Because, there was the whole thing about Arliss Perry that had that thing that happened in California, which I think I actually wrote about. That was the woman, she got murdered in a church and like the killer like stuck a candle like up her vagina and all this other kind of stuff. Like it was almost like ritualistic. But then they found out later, and they have like at the very, very end of this documentary, just a couple of years back, I think it was 2019, they actually finally got the DNA through, and it was the dude that they thought that it was all along, like the security guard at the church had done it, who they thought it was at the time, but they didn't have enough evidence. But, they finally
Is he dead?
He killed himself. They said that's what they showed that news footage there at the end. That footage there at the end.
When they found out?
Because they went in the door. They said, we're coming in, we want to talk to you about something. And it had been, when did that happen? Fucking 1978, 1979, something like that.
He fucking took himself
out. And he just shot himself in the head.
He didn't want to go to jail.
Nope. So he knew he was busted, I guess.
He knew it was only a matter of time before they figured out that DNA.
But see, the thing about it is that it's almost kind of like they put that at the end of the documentary to say, well, Maury Terry was right about that, because he did say, I think it's the security guard. Mm-hmm. But he thought the security guard was in the cult.
Yeah.
And because there was this whole thing, too, about a few of the, his theory was that Wheaties and Michael Carr were killed, by the cult for whatever reason. And then there was, like, another thing about one of them, I think it was maybe, was it Michael or was it another dude, that was supposedly making snuff films of the 44 caliber killings. There was a van and they like filmed and then the cult was like going after the people that had made the snuff films.
Yeah, but that was no evidence of that though.
So it just seems like he took the kernel of something which could have been something and then just grew this tree of
connections
that maybe I don't think were necessarily connections. But see, that happens a lot with like people that with this kind of conspiratorial mindset. It's like you can take some kind of shit like that, but then it expands out to this point where it's just like ludicrous. And it's just like all these people are not involved. Okay. It's just so, so unlikely.
Yeah. It was just the satanic panic mindset. They thought there was a whole like underground network, almost kind of like a mafia of Satanists. No, it wasn't happening, but they thought so though.
Yeah,
people actually went to prison over this shit.
They did. I said, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about McMartin. We're going to talk about all that stuff.
It was a moral panic. And what was weird is that most of the people that believed in the satanic panic and in the satanic underground never stopped believing in it. What happened to them is that they died. You know what I mean? They were baby boomers or older. They died off, most of them. Because during the satanic panic, these were people in their 40s or 50s back then.
Yeah.
They're all dead now. But then that kind of belief in that thing went on forever in those people. It just, the media stopped paying attention to it. I think eventually Geraldo ran, and the daytime talk shows hosts ran it into the ground for so long. It became part of the Jerry Springer scene.
Yeah.
So they were like, let's move on to something else. And the average person who was young like us, we didn't believe in that shit when it was going on. We're like, no way. They had me going for a few years. I was thinking, well, maybe. But the bigger that story got, the more I was going, no. And then when they started talking about heavy metal music, I was going, no. I was like, no, they're misunderstanding. They're, you, that is not what that lyric says. Or, yeah. You know, or that band sucks anyway. What are you talking about? They wrote that to piss you off. They're pretending to be Satanists. Those aren't Satanists.
Yeah.
You know? And to me, I just thought all that shit was funny that adults believed it.
I thought that was very funny.
But adults were gullible.
I mean, it's funny until your ass gets sent to prison.
Yeah.
Because some idiot believed that you were sacrificing babies.
Yeah, but it was a lot like the Salem witch trials where you had little girls fucking pretending that ghosts were in them and demons were in them and they would fucking accuse adults of shit and they'd fucking kill that adult. You can get adults to believe anything. It doesn't even matter if they're religious. You just have to feed their fears. Whatever they're afraid of, you go with that. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
You know?
But talking about, like, the daytime talk shows and shit like that, like I said, I think that's how Maury Terry and the whole, satanic cult, David Berkowitz thing really kind of got into the media, like, the zeitgeist or whatever.
Yeah,
because his book, The Ultimate Evil, you know, when that came out, that was kind of like a big deal. And he was on all the shows. They showed clips of it, like in the documentary, which is cool. They had, like, it's all when he was on Geraldo and he was on.
Well, there was no social
Inside Edition and all that.
There was no social media. The closest thing to social media were those damn daytime talk shows.
Yeah, yeah.
So it appeared there, but it also eventually died there. Think about it.
Yeah.
Because they went with that shit for fucking years. And it just got more and
more fucking ridiculous. Well, people kept watching it.
Yeah, it got more and more ridiculous as it went.
I mean, everybody wants to watch some shit about a satanic cult. It's like, ooh, I'm going to tune in for that. That sounds exciting.
They were exciting.
I know.
But a lot of times, though, if you watch the later versions of the satanic cult things, the more questions you ask to the guests, the more hokey the answers, and then the audience would start booing them.
Yeah.
It was like something out of that medieval era.
It was, yeah.
You know what I mean?
It just got like a
boo. They're like, no, that's what happened. No, it did happen. Boo. So it's like the arena.
It was.
Funny. And then Jerry Springer said, fuck it, let's break some titties out here. And they just fucking did that. They had white trailer trash. Chicks fucking taking their clothes off and fighting each other over just anything, you know? Trailer trash, fighting each other, and then people going, yeah! It was like something out of the medieval era. Yeah.
Yeah, doing all those paternity tests.
Yeah. That's not your baby! You know? And then shit was, some of this shit was just fucking obviously fake. You know what I mean? Just obviously fake. White woman, white dude, black baby, dude wants a paternity test. I don't think this baby's mine. They're just fucking, it's obviously set up. You know.
Well, a lot of them were like actors.
Yeah. And the crowd laughing and shit, you know, just funny.
I mean, I'd even heard about some actors that kind of got their start doing
that shit.
You would just like turn up and they're like, hey, can you be this trashy bitch that's, this is my baby daddy. It's not my baby daddy or whatever.
Well, Jacob, we got a friend of ours named Jacob Angel. And he's from Colombia and he looks like the devil, literally.
Yeah.
All right. He married a friend of ours.
He's a real nice dude, though.
Real nice dude. You look at him and you fucking go like, what the fuck?
Yeah, he's scary.
And he made his beginning on basically the daytime talk show host in Colombia.
Yeah.
All right. And he's a performance artist. He's kind of a skinny, bald-headed guy that looks like the devil. And covered in tattoos, lots and lots of fucking piercings. And he has these fantastic outfits with giant wings and you know, devil wings.
And he has,
wings.
Like, implants in his head so he can put, like, horns. Spikes and horns and
stuff. Yeah, he's got horns and all this kind of stuff. Just look at him, Jacob Angel. He's on my friends list. And what's funny is that the dude was a fucking Colombian army sniper. He's not. He's a fucking good soldier and shit. But you would think that he was just some fucking like crazy ass fucking fetish dude or something. Well, I guess in a way he was.
Yeah.
But he was like very conservative politically and fucking was into like civilization and liked religions. And, you know, he was real proud of certain aspects of Catholicism and everything. But you look at him, you think he was a Satanist. But he wasn't. Nothing like that. And he was real disciplined. He had some issues with him, but, you know, it was nothing real serious. Just, he had a hard time fitting into the United States. He went back to Colombia.
But yeah, he was on a lot of daytime talk shows. Yeah. Back whenever they needed somebody that looked a freak that everybody could, you know, cast aspersions. Yeah. Upon. It's like, my God.
Yeah. Oh my God. And it was always some fake shit. Like my daughter married the devil and he had to like pretend to be some chick's wife, you know what I mean? Or some girl's wife. And he wasn't married to her.
Yeah.
It was all just an act. Well, a lot of Jerry Springer shit was just an act. Because they couldn't get guests to come on.
Yeah.
So, you know, you had to have
because the thing about it is that if that was real, like, if you really had some of the problems that these people, like, why would you go on national television?
Right.
Most people wouldn't.
Yeah.
So I just kind of feel like they, you know, they'd give you, like, $200 for a day or something like that.
Yeah.
And you would just come in there and they'd be like, all right, well, you guys are brother and sister and you're sleeping together and you're totally proud of it.
Yeah.
So get out there and be like, bitches, do that. So
crazy-ass shows, like, on fucking, what was her name, Sally, Jesse, Raphael and shit. One of them I remember was like, I want to marry my daughter. That was fucking one of them.
Yeah, I think I remember what?
You know that shit's fake.
Well, yeah.
You know.
But like I said, they don't care if it's fake as long as they get people to watch it.
Fucking stupid.
I mean, the thing about it, and I think that that's kind of why why Maury Terry's thing kind of blew up so much was because, like I said, everybody loves true crime, right? Yeah. Everybody loves serial killer. Not in that way, but I mean, they like to read about serial killers. They're fascinating. I do too, so I'm not shitting on people. And you know what I mean? And if that serial killer says, yeah, I'm a Satanist and I'm in with this cult and this all this cabal of people that are going around murdering people, I mean, Pete, yeah, I want to read about that. You know what I mean? Everybody wants to read about that.
There's somebody in here called Tom's Inglorious Bastards. That's probably Khan. Probably Khan of Aslan. Junior. Is that you, Junior?
That's you, Junior.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tom's Inglorious Bastards. Yeah. That's pretty funny. Esther said, I was wondering when Tom would bring up boobs, right? It's like he can't go a single show without bringing up boobs.
Yeah.
I thought he could do it this time because there were no boobs.
No, I brought up boobs.
I know you did, but no, I was going to say, but this documentary didn't have any boobs in it, I don't think.
It was low on the boobology scale.
It was very low on the boobology scale.
Boobism wasn't happening.
It was high on the scary murder scale.
Yeah.
And high on the satanic panic scale.
Wasn't sexy. Wasn't sexy.
Not at all.
Wasn't sexy.
But it wasn't meant to be.
No.
I mean, it's a good documentary, though. I mean, even if you don't... Because, like I said, even if you don't... I don't think the documentary really takes a stand one way or the other as to whether Maury Terry was correct about the theory. I suspect not. But it just kind of examines... It, you know, the path that he took to get to where he got to, like, with his theory. And it also kind of talks a little bit about Maury Terry. As I said, he passed away in 2015, partly probably because of the fucking stress and shit like that, because he just got so obsessed with this case and following up all these leads and following up this cult shit and trying to get the investigation reopened and, you know, failing and all this other kind of stuff. And it's just, he started drinking and he lost all this weight. He lost his wife left and all this other kind of shit. And then he just ended up like dying of whatever, like exhaustion. And he just looked like hell at the end, they said.
Yeah. I don't believe that this had anything to do with any kind of cults.
This was the work of one man.
Fucking Berkowitz was obviously a very frustrated loner incel type guy. He wouldn't have been good in any kind of gang or anything anyway. It's just not he wasn't at that level during the time that he did this. Yeah, he came out of, he was in the army, but he wasn't anybody important in the army. He was a worker bee, and he wasn't there very long. He just was an incel.
Yeah.
He's an incel.
And, you know, like you said, it really seemed like with all the letters and shit that he sent, because he did, you know, like I said, Zodiac shit.
Yeah.
Like he knew all the names of the investigators. He knew all the names of the journalists that were working on the case. And he, you know, wrote letters to them specifically for that reason. You know what I mean? He was trying to be mysterious. He was trying to be famous. He wanted the publicity. Mm-hmm. And I think that's pretty much the only reason he did it. He didn't really seem to get, I mean, they showed like some snippets of interviews with him. What, you know, one that Maury Terry did later on. And then there were some of him like earlier and they were asking him, you know, if he got any kind of like sexual thrill out of it. And he's like, no, not really. But it almost seems like this doesn't even seem like a sexual crime. It just seemed like he was wanted to be famous.
It wasn't a sexual crime, you know, in he did this shit because of sex, though, if you ask me.
Probably.
He was sexually inadequate. So, you can't impress girls. You sure can't kill them, though. He was kind of like lashing out. I think he was angry. Probably not real aware of it. I don't think he was real emotionally sophisticated. You know what I mean? You're dealing with a dude who's...
Yeah, he didn't seem to have a lot of insight into
behavior. You're dealing with a dude that probably, like, it, you know, emotionally is like a fucking 8 or 9 year old, you know. Just he's not real well developed.
And it's interesting, the psychiatrist that they had before they even caught him.
Yeah.
And they had a psychiatrist on there, like, at the time, like, in the 70s. And he said pretty much the same thing. He said, this is, like, someone who's sexually inadequate. And this
is probably a virgin. He's probably a virgin.
He might have been, yeah.
Yeah. Because no women were ever mentioned. And he didn't look like the kind of guy that would, he didn't look like a guy who you know, could get a date, really. I mean, there's nothing really physically wrong with him. It's just that he showed the symptoms in his behavior that he was a guy who was not good with women.
Yeah.
You know? You know, a guy could size up another dude and go, man, fucking, if I was a girl, I wouldn't want nothing to do with that dude. You know, we're not stupid.
Yeah.
You know? So he just kind of came across that way.
Yeah, he definitely did.
So, women are going for that, especially young women of breeding age, you know? 80% of them or 90% of them are going for the fucking top 3% of the guys. You know, do they get the top 3% of the guys? No, but they don't go very low on the fucking, they don't go too far down in the barrel. Most guys are lose out of the fucking dating game. I've seen all the damn statistics. Most guys lose. They're kind of weeded out genetically. Ask Japan. Most women in Japan find most of the men there unsuitable. They're kind of weeded out. So the population starts, you know, shrinking. The women have a certain amount of standards, have a certain standard, and most of the men from that society don't meet that standard. So they don't get a girlfriend.
Yeah.
And it's like that in nature, though, too, kind of.
True.
Yeah.
Camp Guy said, I'm going to watch this since we have Netflix. Yeah, it's actually really good. I watched a couple of different reviews of it. Most people, like, really liked it. One guy I saw really didn't like it because he was just like, he thought it went off in too many tangents.
Too.
And that it could have been shorter. He's like, it would have been a lot better if it was like half the length.
I was going to say that.
Because it is kind of 4 hours. Now, and like I said, if you're expecting the whole thing, because I think he was expecting the whole thing to be about David Berkowitz. I wasn't expecting that because I had heard like the satanic cult theory. So I wanted to go. So just keep that in mind. Just the first one is kind of about the crimes, about David Berkowitz. And then it's mostly about Maury Terry and his investigation into this satanic cult theory that he has. So he's following up all the leads and all that other shit. So that's how the rest of it goes. You know what I mean? The last three.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
I could have told this story and it'd been good in about 2 episodes. Maybe 3.
Yeah. I didn't mind it being 4 hours, but...
it's trying to entertain you.
But yeah. I mean, because I guess Netflix, their docuseries, they tend to be 4 episodes. That's how they do them.
Is Berkowitz an organized or disorganized killer? Probably organized.
Yeah, he didn't get caught for a while.
Yeah, it didn't seem like it was just somebody made him mad, so he killed him. He went out hunting, and he shot him when the time was right. He probably spent most of his time walking around.
Yeah. Yeah. And he really only got caught because of like a parking ticket.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. So if it hadn't been for that parking ticket, he might not have been caught he would have been caught eventually, obviously.
Yeah.
But he might have gone on, you know, for longer.
Yeah.
So it just kind of happened that he got that parking ticket and somebody thought to like cross-reference it. And then he got caught.
Not much planning or fetishizing like with Bundy. Well, you know, it depends on what you call planning. Okay. I think he used decent tactics, which is you haunt certain areas where there's a way in and a way out without being seen, and you wait till the time is right. So is that planning? Yeah, that's planning.
And he deliberately went to different areas.
Knowing where they would be and where you had a good place.
So he didn't like hit the same place all the time. Like he would go to different boroughs. Like he did some in the Bronx. He did some in Queens. Yeah. He did, you know what I mean?
A disorganized killer is when dude's going into the store to get a pack of cigarettes. If somebody says something fucking sideways to him, he blows that person's head off and then fucking goes after the cashier and takes him out because he was a witness. And he goes, oh fuck, I killed 2 people. And then he goes through the damn cash register and gets the money. I need to get out of here. And then he fucking gets back in his car and leaves. All right. Leaving fingerprints fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
That's a disorganized killer.
True.
Because he didn't fucking go in there with gloves to begin with because he didn't plan on fucking robbing the store or killing any of those people. It's because somebody said something to him.
Yeah.
And he fucking goes off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so it looks like my shit is crashing again, but at least we got 45
Whenever
minutes
Whenever I say some hardcore shit, they got to crash it. See?
Yeah, it's
they don't like me talking about busting nothing up or hurting anything or talking about fucking any of these, like, CIA or anything, then they're going to come after me.
Yeah, okay.
They're listening to me.
No, they're not. Right.
It's the algorithm.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and shut this down because it looks like it's going to crash on me any minute. So thanks, everybody, for dropping by. Like I said, this is on Netflix, and it just dropped a couple days ago, so go check it out if it sounds interesting. And we'll be back tomorrow, probably do a food show tomorrow because we didn't do one last week, so we're kind of behind. So we will see you guys tomorrow. Thanks for coming by. Have a good rest of your day. Bye.